come to the front. Can we put our hands together for Natasha? For Jesus, she says. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. You're 20% more excited about Jesus than you are about Natasha. Hands together for Natasha. Hands together for Jesus. Okay, but you could do more. You don't have to do less for. Okay, but anyway, we love you, Natasha. I just wanted to ask, who has been challenged in these last 2 weeks to share the gospel? Who's been having a wrestle in their hearts around this? And who have seen something slowly, slowly starting to bloom inside your heart as you risk? Daniel, he went like this. It's like my Daniel, he goes like this now. High five. So if he does that to you, it wasn't me. It's what school does. But Natasha, you could have seen that there's been an impartation. That's what an impartation feels like. You just receive something from someone, and now you have this thing. Now you have this extra burden to bear on your heart. You have this extra thing that's come alive in you. You have this extra desire to see something happen. And so we receive you again as an evangelist. They are few and far between. So when you see them, you wrap them in gold and you thank God for them. And so we are looking forward to receiving from you tonight.
Thank you, Divya. I just want to keep praising Jesus for a little while longer. Can we just keep our eyes just quickly on Jesus? Just keep your eyes on him. I just felt during worship that the Lord was giving us eyes to see him on that cross. And let's just, I know many of you, your hearts were stirred for him on that cross. You saw him on that cross. And so, Jesus, we thank you that as we lift you up, Lord, that you draw all men to yourself, Lord, that you draw us to yourself as we lift up the name of Jesus. And tonight, we lift up the name of Jesus in this place, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that it is because of your death, burial, and resurrection that we have received life, Lord, that it's nothing that we have done, not 1 minute of our time, Lord, with you, not nothing we have done for you, Jesus, has earned salvation for us, but it's all because of your faithfulness in going to that cross, Jesus. And so right now, we just lift up the name of Jesus. As it says in Philippians 2 verse 9, that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we lift up your name this evening, Lord. We thank you that you have defeated all powers of darkness, Lord, in our lives and for Cape Town, Lord. And we thank you for your gospel. We thank you, Jesus, for the victory of the cross, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Shout hallelujah, shout Jesus. Just lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us, Lord. Freely we have received you, Lord. And now freely we get to give it to the people around us. It is the gospel that is the power of God to save Cape Town. If you want to see Cape Town saved, it's the power of the gospel that is going to save the people there. And Jesus has given us the wonderful privilege of being the vessels of this glorious gospel. He can do it all by himself, but he chooses to use us. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be back. I'm excited already. Can someone help me to just hand these out, these notes from last week's or 2 weeks ago session, I think, in there, and then tonight's session? That's just so that you don't have to take notes like crazy and you can hear most of the scripture references and stuff is on there, allow it to penetrate your heart. I want to share some testimonies with you, and I want to hear some of your testimonies. I believe you went out last week. Who went out last week? Okay, I would love to hear some testimonies. So start thinking if you have a testimony burning in your heart. How many of you had homework, and most of you raised your hand 2 weeks ago that you're going to share your born-again testimony with three unbelievers in the last 2 weeks? Who of you shared with one? Keep your hands up with two. Keep your hands up with three. Hallelujah. Okay, well, some of the hands went down. Okay, but there were many initially. Well done. Now, I want to ask you this question. If I were to give you 10,000 rand to go and share your born-again testimony with someone right now, who would run out of here and go share with someone, right? Now imagine you got 10,000 rand for every time you shared your born-again testimony. Then it would put things in perspective a bit, right? Like you would have 3 minutes maybe. The strongholds in Cape Town wouldn't be bothering you anymore. Maybe it's the stronghold of your will, right? That just puts it into perspective. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, he wants to use each of you. Go face those intimidations. I'm not fearless. I'm a human being. I'm nervous practically every time I stand up here, every time I go out to share with someone, and I've shared with thousands. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that comes upon you. Hallelujah. Okay, so I want to share some testimonies. It was amazing. I had the privilege this week to share on CCFM radio station 3 mornings in a row my testimony of how Jesus saved me. And I believe thousands heard. Many people responded and got saved on Monday morning. And I'm so thankful that Jesus has given us a testimony. Each of us have a born-again testimony that can save hundreds and thousands. So I praise Jesus for that. Then I want to share another testimony with you. So I'm going to share some testimonies. Is that okay? Testimonies, they stir our faith. They praise Jesus for what he's done, and then it multiplies, right? When I hear a good testimony, I'm just like, I just want to go out and do the same. And I heard a testimony like that yesterday from Christian Spies. I don't know how many of you know him. He's in Durbanville, and we're doing a 5-session course there as well. And so yesterday, he shares with us on the group that he went out during lunchtime. He went out to the streets. He took Jesus at the door, which we're going to be equipped on tonight. And he just intentionally went out in his lunch hour to go look for people to share the gospel with. And he was sharing this testimony as he headed back to the office. There was a guy standing at his car at the parking lot, and he felt he needs to still go share with this guy. He went. He shared the gospel with him. And he says this guy doesn't pray. It sounds like he's really close to God. But he wanted the weight of sin lifted, and he wanted to receive eternal life. And at the end, they prayed, and that man got born again. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And yeah, that's the testimony. You can praise Jesus. He got born again. and that is just so powerful for me. And yeah, and then there was a guy 2 weeks ago. This was, maybe you can put up that photo of Dylan. So, the first one with just that one. Thank you, Lo. So, that guy, I think I told you guys about him. He got born again in Pick and Pay in the beginning of Feb, and we've been kind of hooking Tian Scott up with him to just, you know, some of you know him, right, from Chaffa Durbanville. I think he was here. I don't know. So, okay. But he's been connecting with this guy and received a message from, his name's Dylan, and Tian forwarded it on to me. And this guy has been going to church, connecting with Tian in coffee, and just thanking him and saying, like, I come across really reserved, but I just want to thank you. I'm enjoying the church, and I'm looking forward to see the transformation of my inner life. And so praise Jesus. He is adding people coming to salvation, and they're being discipled by the body. Yeah, and then how much time do I have? I think I should share this one because it keeps popping out of my notes. But this one will touch you, dear Bia, I think. My younger sister, she's 12 years younger than me. She grew up really tough. Her dad committed suicide, my stepdad, when she was 10 years old. And she made really decisions out of that place of brokenness in her life, bad decisions that impacted her for years. And then one evening, you remember, I think when she was 16 years old, we actually went to hunt her down to rescue her from a guy that she was with. And I think when she was 18, around there, I can't really remember, but she got born again. She went to church, and there was a period of transformation in her life. But then she went back into stuff. She practically denied Jesus for the last 7 years. Really brokenness, had a baby 11 months ago. Amazing. and the baby's amazing. And this boyfriend then broke up with her. And just been going through a really broken time in the last 7 months. And we've just been pouring out into her life, especially my husband. And then three or four weeks ago, she shared with us that she went to church that morning, and she's been going every Sunday since. And I just realized Jesus has been pursuing her heart over these years. He's never stopped. It wasn't her idea to go to church that morning, but it was Jesus pursuing her and her responding that day. And I praise Jesus because he's doing an amazing work in her life. And I just want to, this is a personal testimony, but this is a testimony of what Jesus is doing. He is faithful. He continues to pursue people. Then we went out last Saturday to Tiger Valley. We were a group with the Durbanville group that we're doing evangelism training with. We went out 30 people. You can go to the next picture that with a big group. And many of them shared the gospel for the first time with strangers, maybe for the first time, I don't know. But it was so incredible because we used this simple gospel tool that we're going to teach on tonight that many of you might not like initially, but it is the simple gospel, and we are seeing many lives come to salvation. We saw 34 people receive salvation in an hour in the mall. There was... Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And there was one guy, Isaac. He's like 16, 17 years old on the group. He shared with his geography teacher. He saw his geography teacher in Tiger Valley. His geography teacher got born again. Then he goes to the parking lot somewhere where he knows there's a group from his school that usually hang out and vape on Saturday mornings. And he starts preaching the gospel to the whole group of 19 people, and they all repent and receive salvation. This is just incredible what the Lord is doing. This is all the power of the gospel, right, that each of us have. So, hallelujah. I want to hear some of your testimonies. If you have a testimony of you stepping out, you sharing your born-again testimony with someone, the gospel with someone, please, I want to hear. Come, let's hear some testimonies. Come stand here, Christy.
My ears are also blocked, so I can't hear how loud I'm speaking. A bit of sinuses. But anyway, so then I continued to speak to her and to both of them and try to find an entry point. And at a stage, I realized I felt demotivated, but I continued to just chat through them. I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe next time when I see them, it will be easier. Then at the end, I could leave some seeds. And at the end, I shared a scripture that is also in a song. And I shared it to the one girl to go and listen to. And when we prayed in a big group at the end, it was literally the same verse that we discussed there. And they were looking at me what? So it was just cool to see like that, like them opening up a bit, and I'm trusting for like connecting again and seeing how we can go further.
Yes, come share.
Hi, it's my own testimony. Sister Madre was here Sunday, and I praise God for her. She's been running after me at least for 15 years. I'm an ex-prostitute and ex-drug user, but I praise God for my life today, for what He has done. And I mean, I let Sister Madre and the whole Straatwerk team run after me into hotels, backpackers. They were standing and waiting for me while I'm so busy with a client. But today I praise God that He has really saved my life. And they she just come to me, and every time, whenever she sees me, she would just tell me that the Lord loves you. That's all I want to say. And I would say, hey, what's happening with this woman? She's always following me. I'm getting sick and tired of her, and I told it in her face. And then she would say, the only thing I want to say, the Lord loves you. For years she done that. And I praise God for that. And it's like, one night I just decided that, man, let me rather give up. But then, you know, the devil is so strong that he don't want to lose me. So he, like, one day I was, like, lying in Seapoint Street, high on rocks, high on cocaine, half naked. I was just lying in the main road. And I don't know where Sister Madre came from, because they never reach out in data. They never, but that day, the Lord have sent Sister Madre to me. And that is where I really started. I wake up and I see, like, this woman again. And I said, like, okay. I was so out of myself. I said, okay, I will go with you. And I went with her. And I praise God for that day, that in the daytime that she sent Sister Madre out to me. I asked her a couple of days, like, do you know where I was? How do you know I'm there? How do you know exactly the time? And she said, like, the Lord loves you. And I praise her. Really, I praise God for her. And the first time I remember when I reached out with them after a couple of months, we have to stay like at Straatwerk for like, at first we have to stay at the house for 3 months. And then after that, we go and stay at the big Straatwerk offices for a couple of months, and then you are ready to go out. And I remember that one lady on the street, we went to Seapoint Street, and the one lady said, as I walk up to her, and I want to give her my testimony, so she said, my God, if the Lord can do it for you, He can do it for me.
Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Wow. Anyone else have a testimony? One more. Any men have testimonies? Yes.
I've got a short one, but it's not a closed group one.
That's okay. All of them are good.
Just running, Nadia and I have got a standing running date on a Monday. And he was feeling a little bit ill, so I ran on my own, and I'm like, this is the perfect excuse to now trust God for someone. So my shoelace got untied. As I looked up, there was an old man sitting there, and I'm like, this must be God. What are the chances that here where my shoelace is untied, there's an old man? So I went over to him, and I shared the basic gospel, the story of hope, and how God took me from darkness into his marvelous light. I'm trusting that the joy and the hope that he could see through me will eventually impart to him, and maybe one day we will catch him again. But he was very, very hopeless. And then I realized how God just wants us to go to those people who are hopeless, especially the elderly folk. Like a lot of them don't have a lot of time. So that was just a special moment, and hopefully we'll be able to close the loop on it.
Amen. That's amazing. So sometimes we sow, sometimes we reap, and we all rejoice in heaven one day when we see all those faces of the people we sowed for 2 minutes, and then we see one day they came to salvation. Hallelujah. I love that where you say you tie your shoelaces, and then that's an opportunity. And that's the mindset we should have. I just think when I'm in the shops, anyone that I see a little bit more than someone else, that's the Holy Spirit, and that means I should go to them. And so if you just notice someone, that's the Holy Spirit noticing them, and you should go. Yeah, that's amazing. So I want to remind us that what we are busy with here, and Debbie said in the beginning, we are equipping with the tools Jesus gave us to effectively witness Jesus to the people out there, to the lost, to see people come to salvation. I feel like many times as believers, we adopt these plan B methods that is maybe inviting people to church, inviting people to, you know, into our home first and building relationship and hoping that Jesus will be incorporated into the conversation somewhere. And it's all these long methods that's hard work and we don't see fruit. But we need to return to plan A that Jesus gave us in his word. And then when we do that, it might be less comfortable. It might take more risk. But then we will see the results Jesus said we will see. And so I believe with these three sessions that I'm equipping us with the tools Jesus gave us to seek and to save the lost. So in the first session, we practiced what? We were equipped on how to share your born-again testimony, right? That's something every believer has from day one. You have a testimony, and you can share that with hundreds of thousands of people and see them saved just like you were. Number two, and that's what we're doing tonight, is the simple gospel. So each of us have the simple gospel, right? And you can share that with every single person that you meet with. And then number three, and that's what we'll do in session three, is we have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just words. It's backed up with power. When we witness, we don't just want to talk about this Jesus. We want to see people encounter him, experience him for themselves when we witness. And so we need to learn to partner with the Holy Spirit to release that presence, that intimacy that we have with him. How do we release that to the people out on the streets? His healing, his specific words, him touching their hearts. How do we access that? And so that's what we'll be speaking about in session three. But tonight we're speaking about how do we share the simple gospel. And I speak to so many believers, and if I have to ask you in 2 sentences, they don't know. So how do you know what you're giving people out there? And that's what we're speaking about tonight. Now I want to start with another testimony that just portrays the power of the gospel so beautifully. So this is at the end of last year. I was sitting in Vida with Siko. Many of you know Siko, right? And we were just fellowshipping about Jesus, and this guy comes to sit at the table next to us, this clean-cut businessman-looking type of person. And immediately the Holy Spirit starts tugging on my heart, share Jesus with him, share Jesus with him. You know, like he tugs on our hearts every day. And after a while I stand up, I go to him, I'm like, hey, I'm Nastasha, what's your name? Werner. I just feel, while I'm sitting there, Jesus sees you today. He's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much. He looks at me and he's like, you have no idea. I'm sitting here and I'm at an end in my life. I'm just like, I'm so lonely. And I'm like, can we sit? And we end up sitting for 45 minutes. And this man shares with us his life. He says to us, in the evenings when his wife is asleep, he's smoking weed and playing computer games just to escape from life. We start sharing with him, and he shares his whole history with us. He grew up in a good family, but when he was 9 years old, his parents got divorced. His dad left, and before his dad left, he said to him, I'll see you in a few months. He left on a plane to Australia. His dad didn't see him for years, and they have practically no relationship to this day. when he was 18 or 19 years old, he was so empty and depressed. He put a gun in his mouth. He tried to take his life. He called his mother just before he did it. And his mother sent him to rehab. A few years later, he was out partying in Edward Street like he did many weekends. That's in Durbanville. And that night when he returned to his car, there were people ready to hijack his car. They took his car. And in that moment, he says, it felt like half of his body was possessed by the devil and the other half by Jesus. He can't explain it. And anyway, long story short, his mother is also quite an affluent businesswoman, well-known, and he had a really good relationship with her. But during COVID, she had a nervous breakdown from all the stress, and now she's not present anymore. That relationship is also just gone. And so he's sitting there sharing this with us, and the power of the gospel begins to rise up inside of me. And I say to him, Werner, I need you to give up completely today. I need you to not go here thinking that you still have something left to fix your life. I need you to give up today and ask Jesus for what he did for you on that cross. I'm not talking about Jesus that you know on the outside. I'm talking about Jesus forgiving your sin, ripping it out of you, coming to make his home inside of you, filling you with life, filling you with love that you didn't have growing up until it fills and fills and satisfies and satisfies until it's too much for you to contain and it starts bursting forth to the people around you. This is what you need today. You need the gospel. You need what Jesus did for you on the cross. Do you want it? And he says, yes. And we pray together and that man receives salvation. And after he opens up his eyes, it's different. And I ask him, what do you feel right now? And he says, hope. This is the power of the gospel that each of us have, and it needs to be rising up inside of us as we are sitting and we're faced with the problems that people are having. It's the power of the gospel. When people are lost in brokenness, the answer is the power of the gospel. Broken bodies, it's the power of the gospel. Addiction, broken marriages, it's the power of the gospel. Sexual immorality, it's the power of the gospel. This is the answer. It says in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to save people. And right now, the church is returning to the preaching of the simple gospel. We're becoming unashamed again to be preachers just of the simple gospel. I think I shared this with you guys last time. People aren't asking me to come and equip anymore on how to hear God's voice for people out there or how to pray for the sick. All they want is just teach us how to share the simple gospel for the power to save people. Now, if I have to sum the gospel up, oh, I have a good point here. This is Reinhard Bonnke. He says, people are not looking for our good advice. They're looking for a good savior. Now, if I have to sum up the gospel in 2 points, this is the most important part of all 3 sessions. If you do want to take notes, this is all you have to remember. Okay, so the gospel, I sum it up in 2 points. But before I get to the gospel, there's a problem, right? And there's a solution. The gospel is the solution. So there's a problem, there's a solution. 2 points under the problem, 2 points under the gospel. The Holy Spirit will help reveal this to our hearts, right? It's caught by our hearts. So the problem, what's the problem? Number one, yes? I'll shout that out. Okay, good. Yes, it's sin, right? So the problem is the effect of sin right now, number one. And so in Werner's life, that's depression, it's emptiness, it's addiction, it's escapism, it's suicide. That's the effect of sin in his life right now. People are experiencing the effect of sin in their lives right now. Oh, okay, yes. Then, don't put up that long one yet. Then there's, number two, there's the consequence of sin for eternity. What is that? Hell. For the wages of sin is death, right? So the eternal consequence of sin is they will go to hell for eternity. That's the problem. If people don't realize it's a problem, they're not going to stretch out their hand to the solution. I didn't realize this for many years when I preached the gospel. You just want it to sound nice. If it's not cutting and piercing their hearts, they're not going to stretch out their hand to Jesus, and they're going to leave you still on the same path to hell. Then there's a solution. The solution is, this is the gospel. This is what excites me. This is why I came here this evening. This is the only goal I have when I speak to people out on the streets. This, these two points. Don't put it up yet. Number one, what is Jesus offered people? It's all over scripture. Yes, okay, you guys are fabulous. Yes, shout that out. Okay, that's point number two, is eternal life. But before eternal life comes in, what needs to come out? Number one. Do you teach them these things? This is amazing. Sorry, I've had many feedbacks. It's not, no one ever gets it right immediately. This is incredible. You know the gospel. You can just go now. So that is number one, forgiveness of sin. That's what we offer people, right? When John spoke about Jesus in one sentence, he said, John 1 verse 29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It says that he's removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. He's canceled the record of sin in our lives. He's removed that whole weight of sin. He's canceled it out. He's erased that. He's removed the power of sin in our lives. That's what he came to do on that cross. I think it says in Acts 10 that through this Jesus, forgiveness of sin is offered to you today. And that is what we go out when we share the gospel. That's the gift I give you today. Is through this Jesus, forgiveness of sin is offered to you today. Not just forgiveness, but to destroy the works of darkness, the power of the devil in your life. He doesn't just forgive sin, he destroys the works of sin in your life. And then number two, you shouted it out, is right? Oh, it's on the notes. Oh, okay. Okay. But eternal life. In John 3:16, you all know this, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, until recently, and this is the beauty of the gospel, it's unending revelation. Until recently, I just thought eternal life is when this physical body dies, your spirit will be with Jesus in heaven. And that's what I've been preaching for years, and that's true. But you know what Jesus says? In John 17, verse 3, what eternal life is? He says, eternal life is this, to know you, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is to know Jesus and to know the true God for eternity. That is what eternal life is. And that is what we receive when we get born again. And every day for the rest of our lives. For the past 19 years, that's what I have. The weight of sin removed. The condemnation gone when I come into his presence. There's no condemnation. There's access to his voice, to his love, to his touch, to his satisfaction, to his leading, to his peace. And I can know him for eternity. This is the best news ever. Doesn't this just make you want to go out there and give it to the people around you? Okay, now how do we share this gospel? You're only here. Okay. okay, I'm going to share some points with you to just rewire our thinking when we think about the gospel, because sometimes it gets rewired the wrong way. And this is the way Jesus intended for us to approach the gospel. So in Matthew 10, verse 7, Jesus says, "As you go, proclaim this message." He's talking about the gospel. Proclaim. What do we do with the gospel? We proclaim it. This word proclaim means kerusso, or the word whatever, Greek whatever it is kerusso. It means to a herald making, let me just read this properly, proclaim as a herald, make an official public announcement out loud. That's what Jesus is saying. Proclaim as a herald. Make an official public announcement out loud. And so if you were doing this in that time, you would be walking before the king and you would be shouting, here comes the king, here comes the king, here comes the one who takes away the sin of the world. That is what we were told to do when it comes to the gospel. As believers, as witnesses, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we are not called to educate. We're not called to excuse. We're not called to defend. We're not called to discuss. We're not called to teach the gospel. We're called to proclaim the gospel. This is good news because it takes out all that hard work that has no fruit. You're called to proclaim the gospel. And we are the ones privileged, I shared this earlier, we are the ones privileged to share the gospel. We're the ones commissioned to do it. Not God, not the angels, but we as born-again believers has been given this great task of sharing the gospel. And one day we'll give an account for if we shared this gospel before God. Rana Bonke also said, an unpreached gospel is no gospel at all. The gospel requires a response. Every time we preach the gospel, we proclaim the gospel, we need to invite people. Do you want this or not? It requires a response. Either you accept it or you reject it. It's not a nice conversation. The appropriate response to the gospel is this. It's a repentance, a change of mind that changes in direction. Away from drowning in the sea of sin, my past, my old habits, and it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel. We are not preaching behavioral modification. We preach the blood of Jesus. When we preach, our message is not repent and behave. It is repent and behold Jesus. When we spend all this time trying to explain to people that are not yet born again our journey, our revelations, our spiritual realities, and they're not born again, you're wasting your time. It says, and you're hoping they're somehow going to catch on to something. It says in John 3, when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, he says, flesh or the natural gives birth to the natural, the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You can't perceive the spiritual matters until you're born again. They don't understand until they're born again. Your first point is get them born again. I'm so passionate about this because I did this for 12 years and it didn't work. It's just the gospel that works. Okay. So, and I want to see fruit. Right, I want to see the people out there get saved. Okay, so we're going to watch a clip of Reinhard Bonnke, how he preaches the gospel in this clip for 5 minutes. And I want you to look out for how does he do it. Okay. Hallelujah. If you want to do yourself a favor, watch some Reinhard Bonnke clips of where he's preaching the gospel, the full clips, hour and a half. I'm listening to it in the mornings while I jog. It is incredible. If you want to know how to preach the gospel, listen to one that led millions to Jesus. So how did Reinhard Bonnke preach the gospel here? What did he use? An analogy? Yes. That's right. He used an illustration, right? He told a story to portray something. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't necessarily tell everyone about the garden and Adam and Eve and sin and the separation and then the bridge, the cross, and then that's how you can get saved, how we like to teach the gospel, right? Jesus told parables where people realize through the parable, the story, the real condition of their heart. And they wanted to turn away from it. And then he told them about the kingdom of God. And they wanted to stretch out their hand to it. That is how Jesus preached the gospel. And that's what Reinhard Bonnke is using here. A simple illustration that people can relate with, right? And so he is talking about, like we spoke about just now, the problem and the solution. He's speaking about the problem, right, as what in this picture? Okay, some of you are guessing. Can someone shout it out? What is the problem? The couple that wants to get divorced, right? He's painting a picture of a couple that's in a broken marriage. That's the one picture, and he uses another picture. What's the other picture? Someone drowning in their sin. Someone drowning on a sinking ship, right? And so that's exactly, actually, I realize now, the consequence in this life is the broken marriage. The consequence for eternity is a sinking ship on their way to hell, right? And so that's the problem. Everyone feels the weight of that problem when they listen. Now, what's the solution that he gives them? What's the picture? Not tranquilizers, yes. Rescue, yes. He's portraying a picture of Jesus, a very simple image of Jesus standing there with his extendable arm, stretching out to them, ready to rescue them, not to help them on their way down, but to pull them out of what they're in right now and to save them. It's a really simple picture, but it is illustrated so powerfully. You see it and you want rescue, right? Isn't this simplistic? This is amazing. Now, when we go and we share the gospel, and this is one of my favorite verses for this evening, we don't go to convince people in their minds that it's something nice to believe in. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, Paul is saying that my preaching and my... It says in Acts 2:37, sorry, when Peter is speaking to the thousands, right? What does it say their response was? It says they were cut to the heart. It doesn't say their minds thought this is a better religion. It says they were cut to the heart. Another translation says they were pierced to the conscience. This is the goal when we preach the gospel, the cutting to the heart, the piercing of the conscience. And then in verse 42, it says 3,000 believed that day, stretched out their hand to Jesus that day and took a hold of the gospel and got born again. We want to share an illustration with people where they realize the cause of sin in their lives. They want to turn from it and they want to put their trust in Jesus. Faith is not mental consent. Faith is putting your trust in someone, putting your trust in Jesus. That's what we try to do when we go out and we share the gospel. Okay, so we're going to use an illustration similar to the illustration that Rainer Bonnke is using. But this is an illustration that is being used worldwide right now. It's called Jesus at the Door. Who of you have seen it or heard of it or used it? Many of you. This is incredible. And this makes the gospel easy. It's called Evangelism Made Easy. So we're going to humble ourselves like children and we're going to practice sharing the simple gospel. Now, I just want to share this quick testimony. This is from Anneri, who's been joining our Stepping Out outreaches. Last year, July, I did this equipping at Stellenbosch with 80 people. We went out to the streets that Friday evening. We saw 31 people, if I remember correctly, come to salvation that evening using Jesus at the Door. And this was Anneri's testimony at the end of the outreach. If you can just play that real loud. Have the lights again. Anneri said she's had a desire for years to lead people to salvation, but she just didn't know how. And that evening, she was equipped, and she went out, and she actually led someone to salvation. She's joined every monthly Stepping Out outreach since July last year, all over, and it's spilling over into her daily life. She's seeing people come to salvation in her daily life. And so that's incredible. We just need equipping. Okay, so are you ready to be equipped? So this is for the everyday worker, accountant. I heard there's many accountants here, the doctors, the mother, the busy mother. When you're in the shops and you've got your child in the trolley and you feel you need to share the gospel with this person and you can't even think right now because your daughter is busy taking your attention. This is a real life situation with me. Then I just whip out my phone. I've got this on my phone. I share the simple gospel. I'm just a mouthpiece and the person gets born again while I give Lily sweets. But you need just to have the simple gospel ready wherever you are, right, in your busy life. Okay, so we're going to watch, just before we do. So I know many of you, you might prefer when you go out and you share the gospel with people, you might prefer having words of knowledge or the prophetic. You might prefer praying for the sick, seeing them healed. You might prefer sharing your born-again testimony. All of that is amazing. It's gifts from God, but it needs to take place in conjunction with sharing a clear, concise gospel message followed by an invitation. What does it help? You share an amazing word with someone, you both feel nice, they walk away, and they're still on their way to hell. We need to know how to share the simple gospel. Okay, so I want us to watch that Lily testimony of how powerfully the simple gospel using Jesus at the door touched this woman and her whole family's life. Scott McNamara, who you'll see, he's the founder of Jesus at the Door. You might have seen him in the Holy Ghost movie. Yeah, so let's play that real loud, please. This is why we go out there, right? I think I've watched this testimony about 20, 30 times, and every time it just touches me how the gospel has changed the whole life. So are you ready to be equipped on this? I want you to see the simple gospel work. And so you really can just share this by reading this to people, and it's the gospel that's going to work. So I need a volunteer. You don't need to do much. I'm going to just take you through the card. Yes, please. What's your name? Hendrik. Okay. Okay, so the scenario is I'm in the waterfront, and I'm walking towards you, and you're a person. Okay. Okay. Hello, I'm Nastasha. What's your name?
My name is Hendrik.
Hi, Hendrik. Can I ask you a quick question?
If you have to, yeah.
Have you seen this picture before?
No, I've not.
And do you ever pray?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. So this is Jesus, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. And as you can see, there's only one handle on this picture. It's on the inside of your heart. Only you can open the door of your heart to Jesus. Now, Hendrik, many people pray, but it's like talking through the door to Jesus. You know he's out there somewhere, but you don't know him personally, right? Now, if you had to visualize yourself wearing a backpack right now, and it was filled with all your sin in it, do you think it would be heavy?
Oh, yeah.
Right, we all have sin, and that sin represents our debt before God, and it stops us from having a personal relationship with Him. Now, Hendrik, if you had R1 million debt with a bank, something you couldn't pay, and I gave you a check for R1 million and you cashed it, what would happen to your debt?
It would go away.
It would be gone, right? Now, that's exactly what Jesus did when he died on that cross, is he wrote out a check in his blood with your name written on it, Hendrik, and he rose again, and today he's standing at the door of your heart and wanting to cash that check today. Now, Hendrik, if Jesus were here in person right now, would you let him in?
Absolutely.
Wow. Hallelujah. Now, I want to ask you another question, Hendrik. Can you see the wind? You can't see it, right? But you can feel it. I want to pray for you. Jesus is here right now. I want to pray for you to experience him. Is that okay? Amazing. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for Hendrik. Thank you for your love for him. Thank you that you fill him right now, just on the inside, that you ignite his heart right now, Lord, with your peace and with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hendrik, did you feel anything while we prayed?
Oh, like for real? Like, oh.
You can answer for real.
Yeah, I did like a little bit, yeah.
Wow. Now, Hendrik, that's amazing. That's Jesus touching you. Now, in life, you're on a road without Jesus, and you need to turn away from your sin, from your old life, and start to follow Jesus. I want to ask you, do you want to start to follow Jesus from today?
Yes.
That's amazing. I'd love to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you, and you can pray this prayer with me. Jesus, forgive me my sins.
Jesus, forgive me my sins.
I open the door of my heart to you.
I open the door to my heart to you.
I make you Lord of my life.
I make you the Lord of my life.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Fill me with your Spirit.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Hendrik. You can take this one. Amen. Now, I know you might have many questions. I want to take you through this gospel presentation, through this Jesus at the door, and then we can have some questions at the end. Benjamin, can you help me? Thanks. You can just give one to everyone. Now, we're going to use this on Saturday as we go out to the waterfront. You all know about the outreach taking place on Saturday. So what I want you to do while Benjamin is handing out the card is take out your phones and scan this. It will take you to the Jesus at the Door app. You can download it. It will give you the option for Apple or Android. You can download that on your phone. I need you to have it on your phone. So take it out now because there's functionality on the phone that we will use, on the app that we will use on Saturday at the outreach. Also, when you're sharing the gospel in your daily life, you're not necessarily going to have the card with you, but you will have your phone with you. You will be asked to create a quick login. It takes a minute to get into this. So I'll just wait for you. If you can give me an indication, if you've got it on your phone and you're in, by raising your hand, that way I know how many people are in. Yeah, so you download the app. It will take you to the download if you go on this QR code, and then it should ask you to create a quick login. Benjamin, are all the cards gone? Or are they going around somewhere? Did everyone get one? Oh, my hat, I'm so sorry. There's more of you than I thought. How many don't have? Okay, if you can you all put it on your phone? If someone has it on their phone and they have a card, you can just distribute it to some people who don't have. So if you can't get it on your phone for some reason and you need a card, just put up your hand and some people will redistribute. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so let's see who's got it on their phone. Keep your hands nice and high. Who's still busy? Okay, so put your hands down if you've got it. Who's still busy? Okay. It should ask you for a login if you're doing it for the first time, I think. Sign in, yeah. If you see this on your screen, then you're in. I can't remember what the login or sign in looks like because I did it so long ago. That's the main one, right? Okay, so if you're here, then you're done. Who's still busy? Okay. Does everyone either have it on their phone or have a card? Okay, great. Okay, so if you look at the card and you can go into that equipping card on your phone, then you'll see it's got the image in the front and then at the back it's got the steps, right? Now, this is the illustration of the gospel that we've been speaking of this whole time. What is the problem in this illustration? Sin, but what's the illustration? What's the picture? the million rand debt, right? And what is the illustration of the sin? The backpack with sin, right? And that represents your debt, the million rand debt. Okay, so that's the problem. Now, you might not realize this, but when you go out and you share the gospel with us, you might think it sounds just like a nice story. It cuts and pierces people's hearts, and it cuts to the conscience. And then what is the solution on you? Yes. So the solution here is the cross. They speak about the cross, the cashing of the check, right? Jesus did that for you on the cross, and then he comes to live inside of your heart, right? Okay, so you've got the illustration here. You'll see that there are 9 PowerPoints, and 6 of these points at the back are questions. The gospel is relational. You're asking someone questions and hearing what they're saying. You, the disciple, is walking the not yet believer through a question response type gospel presentation in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Now, what I love about this this gospel tool is it starts with the love of Jesus, with him knocking on the door of your heart. And that's the image from Revelation 3:20, right? Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. Then it takes you to sin and the solution. It's a clear gospel message. Then, if you look at the gold section, it gives you a chance to partner with the Holy Spirit, to hear his voice for the person, for them to encounter and experience Jesus for themselves. And then at the end, you pray a prayer of salvation with them. It is incredible. I love this tool. And so you'll see the black zone, or just before we get to the black zone, you'll see there's 9 little pictures next to each statement or question. Those pictures can help you to trigger your memory on what it says there. But I memorize this pretty much every time I go out because I want to make sure that I'm including all the points that have been put together here to cut and pierce hearts. The black zone, this represents the state of a sinner's heart before they open the door to Jesus. The red zone represents the redemptive blood of Jesus. And the gold zone represents the Holy Spirit fire. That's amazing. Like we were, when we were at Tiger Valley on Saturday and we were praying for 2 guys, they experienced the Holy Spirit so much. As they were walking away, another guy in the team overheard them speaking, and he shared with me at the end of the outreach what these guys were saying as they walked away. They said, "Wow, dude, that was wild. Did you feel that?" "Yes, that was amazing. The Holy Spirit is ready to encounter the people that you're witnessing to, and I've heard all kinds of things when I pray with people as the Holy Spirit comes and touches them. I've heard a Muslim lady before receiving salvation saying, 'I'm Muslim, but I'm experiencing something right now.' After we prayed with her, she received salvation. She opened up her eyes in Somerset Mall. She said, 'How long have we been here? I feel like I'm floating. I need to sit down.'" That's the power of the Holy Spirit touching people. And then the silver section, that is holiness followed by prayer. You're not praying just a nice blessing over the person. In that prayer, they are receiving what Jesus did for them on the cross. In that moment, they are being translated out of death into life, and you can see it because when they open up their eyes after they've prayed that prayer, many times I see life come in, I see joy come in, I see hope come in. They're completely different. Why? Because they've just, the weight of sin has just been lifted. It's amazing. So I want you to use Jesus at the door, in the shops, with your work colleagues, because I want you to see the power of the simple gospel work. If you imagine a grenade, right, with all this power locked up inside, you know what a grenade is? When you take out the pin, then all that power explodes out, right? Now the gospel is that power inside the grenade. It's not us. The pin is just our tongue. We just release that power. So every time you share the gospel like this, you're just releasing the power of the gospel. Children can share just this and the power of the gospel. They can read this to someone and the power of the gospel is unlocked and people are coming to salvation. Teenagers are leading teenagers to salvation and the whole family is coming to church and getting saved. This is testimonies that we're hearing of Jesus at the door. Now, one question that I often get asked with this is, We're not manipulating people into a prayer, right? You're sharing the gospel with them and you're inviting them to receive Jesus. When Jesus stood before people and he shared with people, there were many who received him and believed, and there were many who rejected him. When you are sharing the gospel with us, you're sharing the gospel and you're inviting them. Either they'll receive it or they'll reject it. This is not a manipulation tool. I'm just saying this is a clear, simple gospel message, and people have the choice what they will receive. But the gospel works. And so many times what I'm hearing when people come out with us on outreach, use this, they had their doubts about using this tool, and then they come back and they're like, this is incredible. I can't believe how people are open to this, how people are responding to this, and how many people out there are actually ready to just receive Jesus. There's so many people I meet with, they're just on the verge of getting saved. They just need someone to invite them to receive salvation. And so that's what happens. You reap, right? You go out, you reap what you didn't sow when you share. Or at the very least, you sow and the people leave and someone else will reap them, right? So at the very least, you're sowing the gospel into someone's life. Now I want to go through a quick few frequently asked questions, and then we're going to do some role play. Now, so maybe you say to someone, oh, when you approach people on Saturday, who's joining the outreach on Saturday? Okay? Now, when you come and you approach someone, this is what you say. Hello, my name is this. What is your name? Then you say, very important, can I ask you a quick question? This is important because you're not going to say to the person, do you have 2 minutes? Most people, as you know, are going to say no. You're not going to say, I want to share Jesus with you real quick. The atheist, the Muslim is going to say, oh, sorry, I'm atheist, I'm Muslim. You're not cutting and piercing the heart immediately. You say, can I ask you a quick question? Okay? This is important because I go out with people, they mess it up just with the first sentence. Just say, can I ask you a quick question? Then, do you... The Bible says we need to be a sly serpent, doesn't it? Right, yeah. Okay, then you ask them, do you pray? Now, most people say yes, but some people say no. And then you say to them, well, do you pray in emergencies? Yes, you carry on. No, I don't. Do you believe in God? No, I don't. Well, he believes in you. He loves you so much. And you keep sharing the gospel. You want to hear where they're at, but you want to give them the gospel. Okay? Then... when you get to the part where you say, praying is like talking through the door, you know, he's out there somewhere, but you don't know him personally. And they say, no, actually, I do know him personally. Then you ask this, very important, are you born again? Not are you a Christian, not do you go to church. If they say, I go to church, I read my Bible, I've gone to church my whole life, I'm a Christian. You still ask them, are you born again? Why? Because when judgment day comes, Jesus is not looking for everyone who read their Bible every day or was in a church every day. He's looking for those who were washed by the blood of Jesus, who received what he did for them on the cross. Most people know when you say, are you born again, if they really are or not. And then if they are, that's amazing. I'm sharing the gospel today with people that are not yet born again. Bless you. And you go find the next person. If they say, no, they're not born again, you say, I want to share with you how you can get born again today. You keep going. Then maybe you say, if you had a backpack on and it was filled with all your sin, would it be heavy? No. Would there be anything in your backpack? Yes. Now, some people think only big sin needs forgiveness. Small sin, all sin needs forgiveness, and you want them to realize that in that moment. Is this okay? You're getting this? Okay. Then you're sharing with them, but they really don't look interested. They're looking around. Their body language suggests they're not interested. Just stop them and say, excuse me, sir, would you rather not have this conversation right now? Yes, sorry, I have this and this. That's fine. Bless you. Jesus loves you. And so we want to engage with people's hearts, right, when we're sharing the gospel. We don't just want to be irritating, clanging cymbals. Okay, so then lastly, when you pray with them and you ask them, did you feel anything? Amazing if they did. Then they encounter Jesus. Maybe they say, no, I didn't feel anything. Do you believe, do you have enough faith to believe Jesus is here right now? Yes. Okay. Carry on going. So you want to put their faith in Jesus in the cross. It's amazing. Many people experience Jesus. Then they get born again. The guy Christian shared with in his parking lot yesterday at work, that guy didn't feel anything after the prayer, but he wanted to receive salvation. Hallelujah. And he will experience Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're going to humble ourselves. I didn't like sharing the gospel using this tool initially. It's uncomfortable, yes, for every single person probably. And it's okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to stand. You're going to find someone that you don't necessarily know so well. You each have the card or it on your phone. You're going to approach the person. You're going to say, can I ask you a quick question? And you're going to share the gospel with them using this tool. Now, all of you, you don't know this, right? So you just need to read, right? Don't make it up. Don't add. Don't leave anything out. Just read. Yes. Yeah.
No, I don't pray.
Yeah, then you, so you can see they're interested. You just keep going. There's many times where I can see it's piercing the heart, but people are not there yet. And I keep going. You keep sharing the gospel. Yeah. Okay, so let's stand, find someone, and then this in more detail on Saturday. I know many of you might have some questions. I just want to share with you that it might seem quite like duh, 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 and you want to put a lot more words into the card. But as you share this, it becomes personal revelation to you and it flows out of you. And so share what's on the card and allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of what's on this card. Initially, I used it a few times. I stopped for a few months, and then revelation happened, and I've just gone for full steam. I don't take groups out on outreach anymore without equipping before the time. Because otherwise, people come, they hope something is going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to give them words when they approach people, and we don't see much fruit. Then you take people out, equipped with the gospel, and they come back, and many people came to salvation. Many seeds of the simple gospel were sown. Okay, so you might want to add some stuff. You might want to leave some stuff out. For the first few times, share it exactly like it is on that card. And trust that the simple gospel is going to penetrate hearts as you share it. It's something happening in the heart more than the mind. Okay, so on the Jesus at the Door app, I forgot to share this. On the left, just real quick, there's the equipping card that you'll take someone through. So the image, and you scroll up, and then it gives you the statements that you can read through. Then if you go back to the home screen, you'll see on the right, there's a follow-up. And so when people get born again, we plug in their name, their contact details, you hit save. Immediately, this image of Jesus at the door gets texted to them, and they receive some more points of getting plugged into a church, praying, reading Bible, and sharing their testimony with someone. It's amazing. And then, yeah, we'll share more on that on Saturday's outreach. So, homework, I want you to think of three unbelievers, again, and share Jesus at the door with them. Read through Jesus at the door with them. Even better, approach people out on the street, just in the shops, in the restaurants, when you're jogging. Whip out Jesus at the door on your phone. Share it with three people. Can you do that in the next 2 weeks? This is outside of the outreach. This is not including the outreach on Saturday. Okay. Can you think of three people? Imagine that's three people in 2 weeks. That's 9 minutes about of your time, right? And it can lead people to eternal life. Imagine you get 10,000 rand for each of those three people. Would you do it then? You just have to man up. It's like going into that business presentation. You feel nervous. You maybe had a bad night before the time, maybe sick, maybe sleepless. You don't go to the boss and say, sorry, I can't give this presentation now. I feel this and this and this. You just man up and you do it. Jesus said it's the same with the gospel. We go out and we just share it. Doesn't matter if you feel sick, tired, you don't feel so good right now. You just share the gospel. Okay, Then Saturday we have the outreach coming up. Many of you know about it, but for those of you who don't, it will take place at the waterfront. We'll meet at the amphitheater. You know where that is? Put in some time to park and walk there. Take some time. I need you to join this WhatsApp group, the Stepping Out WhatsApp group, even if it's just until Saturday. You can leave again. But I'll be sharing on the information leading up to Saturday, prayer points, and things that you need. You need to take a backpack for follow-up material, stuff like that. So if you're not on this group, and many of you are not, I need you to take out your phones and join for the details leading up to Saturday. Okay. Is everyone, who's joining on Saturday? Okay, are you on the Stepping Out group? Okay, awesome. That's so that we can pray together before the time and so that I can share details with you. So just on that point, I feel to share this with you tonight. Many times before we go out on outreach, you might experience some weapons formed against you. You might feel sick before the time. You might experience some relational distress in your home. You might experience, like Lily, she is often, before we go out on outreach, got fever all night, sick. And it's the weapons of the devil formed against us. He hates the preaching of the gospel. It says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. Persecution, right? But the violent take it back by force. And so you just say, stuff it, I'm going anyway. Okay, so I want us to stand, and if we can just have that amazing worship team just play something, just put our attention on Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need a revelation of the powerful gospel. And I want to ask you guys tonight to again humble yourselves tonight, that we don't go to preach like it says in 1 Corinthians 1:17. We don't proclaim the gospel with our wise and persuasive words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. We preach a simple gospel. And so this takes humbling yourself. It's not that comfortable, but it is the power to see people saved. So I want to ask you right now, if there is a hunger in your heart for more of the Holy Spirit, to yield to Him, to the power of the Holy Spirit, to the revelation of the gospel, you're hungry tonight for Him to touch you, for Him to do something in you. You want to yield to Holy Spirit tonight and say, use me, come upon me, reveal to me, burn in my heart the revelation of the gospel, burn in my heart to see the lost saved. Come to the front and do business with Jesus. Ask Him, yield to Him, kneel before Him. Say, Jesus, I don't want to have this all happening in my mind. I wanted to penetrate my heart tonight. And so if that is you and you're hungry, I'm daily asking Holy Spirit, make me hungry, make me see the people in front of me, let me value them, reveal to me the gospel that saved me, Jesus. And so if you are hungry, I want to ask you, come to the front and open up your heart and your hands to receive from the Holy Spirit right now. And then I want to say, for those of you, you might not be sure if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to empower us to preach this gospel with boldness and with a power that backs it up. It says in Isaiah 61 that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has anointed me. For what? For a purpose, for a function, to preach to the poor in spirit, to heal the brokenhearted, to set captives free, and to deliver people from oppression and darkness, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God on His enemies. And so that is what happens when the Holy Spirit power comes upon us. It enables us to do the work of witnessing. And so if you don't know if you've received that baptism of power and boldness, but you say, I'm hungry tonight, Jesus, baptize me with fire. Baptize me with your spirit. Come to the front. Come, receive from Jesus. And as we just worship Jesus, let's just start singing to Jesus. I want to pray with you. I feel the Lord is going to be also breaking off just fear and intimidation tonight. Thank you, Jesus.